Drodzy Państwo, witam Państwa bardzo serdecznie, ponieważ...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. The lecture is going to be delivered in English, so I'll switch into English as well.
Oczywiście tłumaczymy ten wykład. Ladies and gentlemen, I cordially welcome all of you. And I just want to start with the... It's beautiful remark. This lady who is sitting in the second row just approached me. And she said to me that she disagree with what is written over here. And she's right and she's not right at the same time. What is written over here? She agrees about the songs of the land of Israel, nostalgia for a new song. What she disagree, and I disagree with her disagreement, is... that this is the 30th Jewish Culture Festival, Krakow 2018. For me, it's very symbolic, because this is a way we cross the borders of time. Why? Because she is right. It's a 28th edition of a Jewish Culture Festival, but Professor Seroussi is also right. Because this is the 30 years of a Jewish Culture Festival in Krakow. Do you remember this moment in The Fiddler on the Roof? My favorite movie. Okay, so Rabbi said, and you are right, and you are right. Rabbi, how it is possible? The third guy said, he's right, and he's right, and they disagree each other. You are also right. So, it's absolutely right. This is a 28th edition of the Jewish Culture Festival, and thank you very much. This is also the 30 years of a Jewish Culture Festival. Lama, why? It's so easy. This is a Jewish festival. So it means that it would be too easy to just do the 30th edition during the 30 years. Between 1988, when we have started to organize a festival, up to 1994, the festival was done every second year, every 2 years. Since 1994, we decided that it will be the annual event. So welcome cordially on the threshold of the future, which means that we are obliged to do not only next 30 festivals, but at least 330 festivals. And I promise you that. With the help of people like Professor Edwin Seroussi. Professor Edwin Seroussi knows everything about the Jewish musical world, literally everything. So don't hesitate to ask him a lot of questions after his presentation. But Professor Seroussi and... It's my wife. Marysia, teraz zapowiadam. But Professor Edwin Seroussi is a very, very devoted man. He, together with his wife, devoted himself and themselves, and they spent 48 hours, literally 48 hours, to travel around the world only to be on time on today's presentation. It's not a joke. So please, yes, exactly. So ladies and gentlemen, it's a great, great honor, Professor Edwin Seroussi.
Oh, Janusz, you're such an orientalist because you exaggerate. I told you we traveled 36 hours. How 36 became 48? In 1 minute. And then, just hear this last remark. I thank you for the kind introduction. And I accept the notion that I know about Jewish musical cultures more than anybody else. And I will tell you why. Because I know how much I don't know. And this is what is important. There is so much to know that we do not know yet. And in this sense, I think I have a pretty clear picture of all what we need to accomplish yet. So thank you. Thank you very much. I am very happy to be with you this afternoon. And when Janos asked me to give a certain overview of 70 years of music in Israel, I said, okay, I love the festival and we'll do something. You are all aware that it is an impossible mission. So what I will do is to give you like a tasting of the main issues that we need to consider when talking about Israeli musical culture. I will, by no means, if you expect me to cover everything, it will be impossible to do it. So the series has today an introduction, which is also a surprise for you, because I decided to teach you about the music of Israel through the music of the children of Israel, or the music that was written for children, at least to focus on a certain idea. But I will start with the only theoretical part of this presentation, a few minutes, and then we will move into songs, people, authors, poets, etc. And for those of you who have already been in any of my classes, you will have to work in this class. That is, you will have to sing. So I will teach you a couple of songs so that you can take with you also something out of this. The session tomorrow will be dedicated to one song. One song only. And the third and last one will be dedicated to one person. It's announced that is about the Polish input into Israeli musical culture, but I dedicated this to the most famous Polish Israeli composer ever, and we will dedicate the session to him, but through him we will see how Polish culture was influential in Israeli culture. So are you with me? Are you okay? You hear me okay? Translation is the best translations in Poland, so thank you. Thank you in advance. Yes, so Israel is a new country, you all know. So you have a country needs a culture. How do you make the culture of a country that, in a way, comes from nowhere? It comes from a addition of many millenary traditions, the Jewish traditions, but is also something new at the same time. And this tension between the old and the new will accompany us throughout the lectures. I have this slide for almost every lecture I teach, every course I teach. Why music? Why music is so important? Music matters. And I say that this music is not only entertainment, because today people associate music mostly with entertaining. And music carries meaningful emotions that are so important to the identity of each one of us. I could say that we are the music we consume and we love and we produce. And we can teach about history and society through music, sometimes more effectively than through text. And this is my firm belief. Now you may say, okay, he's a musicologist, he's promoting his own field, but I truly believe what I'm saying. And also, relationships between groups can be fully understood or more precisely understood through music. And since, as we will see, Israeli society is extremely extremely based on a lot of tensions between different groups, different interests, different perceptions. Therefore, music is a field where all these perceptions, different perceptions, come into tensions, into contrasts, and sometimes into cooperation. So this is important for you to conceive. Something very basic about Israel. Well, I said Israel is a new society, it's a new country. It emerges when ideas of modern European nationalism, particularly in the second half of the 19th century, become in the minds of Jewish intellectuals a model for the reorganization of the Jewish people in a period of extreme political disarray, social and technological changes, higher mobility of people, and the decline of traditional religious authority. The Jewish community was always a religion, it was a religious community. The authority was mostly in the hands of the religious leaders. Now this traditional structure starts to fall apart. What is the new structure that comes in its stead? It's also a society of immigrants. The issue of immigrants today is very much in the news, certainly here in Europe. Well, Israel is all immigrants. The vast majority of Israelis are second or third generation of immigrants, immigrants that came from the four corners of the world in different waves. These waves are called in Hebrew aliyot, which mean that you are ascending from the diaspora into the land of Israel. Of course, this is a semi-religious idea that was adopted in a secular Zionist ideology, but still it carries a lot of meaning, that this immigrational movement is a movement towards a goal that had religious overtones, not only political but also religious. And because people come from so different places, the place I just came from that Janusz mentioned is the south of Morocco, from a very important Jewish community of Mogador in south Morocco. And I was telling Janusz how emotional it is for me to go from Mogador to Krakow in 30 hours, from these two separate vibrant Jewish centers of the past, that most of the people that inhabited Krakow and Mogador live now in Israel. So this is something, a personal touch. And I speak also in many of my writings about Israeliness, this sense of belonging to this new national secular Jewish culture. Israeliness is the way of being Israeli, but there are many ways of being Israeli. But one of the most important common denominators is what I call Hebrewism. The use of the Hebrew language in its modern version as a symbolic and practical tool. In my opinion, the success of Israel, the success of Zionism, is the success of the language. If you have a language, a national language, that is creative and vibrant, you have a chance of having a cohesive society. Not that all the Israelis speak Hebrew very well. The majority don't speak well. They speak with a lot of mistakes and slang and etc. And there are other important languages in Israel, Arabic, Russian, etc. And still, there is a hard core of Hebrew that maintains all these linguistic tensions into one unit. Israeliness is hybrid, is a composite culture made out of many sources. I could include also many memories. So Israeli culture has a lot of Jewishness, a lot of Yiddishkeit, what we will say here in Krakow, a lot of memories. You will see this in the music too, but also has a lot of innovation. So the same historical religious rituals are now, in a way, reworked, reformed, or reconstituted into modern rituals. Just take Passover, Pesach, how it is celebrated in Israel. It can be celebrated as a religious gathering, as traditional Yiddishkeit, but it can be celebrated as a spring festival with a rock and roll concert on the fields. But it's still Passover, because people know it's our holiday, it's Passover. You don't perform the ritual as it used to be, but you still are in your awareness that this is a holiday. The same I always say to people. Many people watch TV in the Sabbath. It is forbidden to watch TV on the Sabbath. But then the person in the TV tells you Shabbat Shalom. So you know it's Shabbat. Okay, you cannot, and that doesn't happen in any other places. Let's move forward. I'm sorry. Okay, now we get into music. I promise the introduction is short before we move into the music. So Israeli music, I propose a sort of a model just to make some order into this very polyphonic musical field. Usually we call Shirei Eretz Israel that a concept that developed over time for the older layer of Hebrew songs created before the state. And when I said nostalgia for a new song, what I was meaning is, if it was misunderstood, is that the songs are all new, but sometimes 10, 20 years after the new song appeared, people are already nostalgic of that song. Israeli culture moves very, very fast. And therefore, there is always a certain nostalgia for what was before. Then we have another important component, and you will see this here, and also when we talk the day after tomorrow about the great Polish-Jewish composer Moshe Wilensky. He wrote most of his music for the stage of the Hebrew theater. There used to be in Tel Aviv in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s a vibrant scene of cabarets, nightclubs, etc. Many songs belong actually to this stratum. People think all the Hebrew songs belong to the kibbutzim. That's not true. The cities were more important than the kibbutzim. The kibbutzim are ideologically interesting, but they were always a very small minority of the population of the country. And then we have, after 1948, a very important venue for the creation of Israeli songs, which are the army ensembles. Israel Defense Forces maintains a large amount of artists that entertain the troops, and these are the best artists of the society that are taken by the army. Instead of doing army service as soldiers, they do as musicians, and therefore that's a very privileged situation, whereas the army can recruit the best artists. Then we have song festivals. Israel is a country of festivals. We have tens of festivals of Hasidic songs, of Oriental songs, of children's songs, you name it. And in these festivals, new songs are composed, and these new songs enrich all the time the repertoire. Then we have pop rock. Like any modern country, we have Hebrew pop and rock, including all the new styles or genres, hip-hop, rap, etc. We have Musica Mizrahit, which is a special type of pop. Oriental music sounds with an oriental sounds and instruments. It's basically pop orientalized, and this is called in Hebrew Musica Mizrahit. We have another type of music, which is ethnic music. It's very similar to what usually around the world is called world music. So this is combining more authentic musical traditions with other of all the Jewish immigrants, let's say Yemenite Jews, Iraqi Jews, Moroccan Jews, combining some of their traditions with jazz, with rock and with other types of music, blues, etc. And therefore, we have this hybrid, which in Israel people call musica etnit, ethnic music. And then Israel has a vibrant scene of Western art music, and is cosmopolitan, is very local, and is both cosmopolitan and local. What do I mean? Many Israeli composers compose like Polish composers compose, okay, in this language of Western music, but sometimes they employ as the raw materials music from the Jewish traditions that they meet in Israel. Finally, I didn't include this here, and it's important for you to know. 21% of the population of Israel are Palestinian Arabs. And they have, of course, their own music. I am talking right now about the Jewish population of Israel out of methodological issues. I will be very happy to come back, you tell Janosz, next year, and speak about Arabic music in Israel, which is fantastic. And we have a great scene. I have many Palestinian students who do research on Arabic music, and therefore Arabic music is also an important part of the Israeli state musical culture. But just today, I'm focusing on something else. So now we go into the music itself. I hope this introduction was not too long, okay? We will go, we have 1 hour and a half. That's, I even didn't ask, 1 hour and a half, that's what we have, organizers? 1 hour and a half, okay. Now, why to study children's songs? Well, first of all, grown-up musicologists are all the time busy with grown-ups, okay? What about the children? The issue is that we live in a generation that we lost childhood. Until the modern times, childhood was a very specific part of life with its own culture. Today, children are consumers of almost the same culture like the grown-ups. This was never like that in the past. This is really one of the aspects of modernity. So, we can learn through the children's song the way in which young Israelis are, I call this, domesticated. I'm sorry, this sounds a little bit like dogs and cats, but human beings are a little bit like dogs and cats that have to be enculturated, trained into becoming participants of their society, and therefore it is important to take into consideration the use of music and songs in this process of education. And also, the songs for the children are a field for the display of different conceptions of Hebrewism or of Israeliness. That is to say, the children's repertoire in itself represent tensions between different types of styles. I call them European. When I speak European about children's songs, it's mostly German. You will see this very soon. Then you have primordial. That is to say, very simply, the children's songs of the different Jewish communities that were Hebrewized. Many Yiddish songs for children were substituted with new Hebrew texts. And many people in Israel think that these are quintessential Hebrew songs, but they are Yiddish songs just sung in Hebrew. And the same with other languages. And we have cosmopolitan models, that is to say, models that we cannot point to a specific style, particularly in the more recent and modern children's songs that are produced for festivals, etc. The language is more cosmopolitan. And we can learn also from children's songs about aesthetic sensibilities. What are the desired values this society wants to teach to its new citizens through the songs? I will skip the last point because I said that already. What are these values? Well, particularly in the formative period of the states, the ethics of working and redeeming the land was a very important aspect of the creation of children's songs. That is to say, the use of the songs to transmit the ethos of the new Jew, the Jew who works the land. Then, continuity with the biblical past. Many children's songs deal with biblical subjects. That is to say, you teach the biblical past through the songs, but also you reinforce this connection, which is very important for Zionism, that the claim of the land is based on the document called the Bible, and that's therefore the deep knowledge and identification with this text is important to teach since you are a baby. Then, more general, I spoke about cosmopolitan hygiene. Okay? You have to be clean, you have to wash your hands, you have to be neat. These are, of course, these are modern European concepts. Okay, so you see how modernity, European modernity, gets its ideals into the songs. Motor skills, a lot of the songs are dedicated as songs throughout Europe to develop the way the children functions, alertness, okay, how to react very fast, etc. And then universal concern, the scares of children. Children are afraid, the songs can calm them down, can give explanations to issues that children cannot understand, the need of the parents' protection, dreams, and of course having some fun too. Sometimes the song adjusts to have the, for the child to have a good time. I will skip this just to tell you that the techniques of music education in Israel are mostly German. Were mostly taken from the Froebelian kindergartens. This is the modern kindergarten concept that still is very important and dominant today in Israel. Every kindergarten in Israel has a music teacher that comes twice a week or three times a week to teach some of the songs that you will hear very soon. So it is important to know that this part of the Israeli repertoire is maintained through educational tools, through the preparation of teachers. So the society built an entire infrastructure to make these songs viable and transmitted systematically to the children. And the last slide before we move into our first song, I also offer you a model of these children's songs, okay? So we have, as I said, the diaspora heritage that is both Jewish and cosmopolitan. So we have children's songs that are translation of Yiddish songs, but we have also original children's songs that are through and through German or Polish in their style, okay? You have some of the old songs, like the grown-ups of the songs of Israel. And then we do have pop songs that were written for children. Okay, the more we advance, you will see, I will play for you a couple of songs. I will also bring some of the songs I love, I'm sorry. But I hope you love them too, that that tell how even very advanced forms of pop are still conceived as children's songs in Israel, also by the grown-ups. Okay? Okay, so our first hero, so that you know some of the people. This woman is amazing. She is one of the greatest artists of Israel. She was awarded the Israel Prize. She came from Yemen. But she was educated by German music teachers. She was very gifted as a composer and then as a choreographer. And she established the Imbal ballet theater in Tel Aviv, which combines Yemenite traditional dance with modern dance. And this was a revolution in world dance, in artistic world dance in the 50s. Martha Graham worked with her, and I don't want into details. But her first job after she finished high school, she went to be a teacher in a kindergarten. And she wrote some of the most precious Israeli songs for kindergartens. So this will be my first song. And I will tell you what the song is about. And here you have the transliteration so that you can sing. This is the whole song. It's a very short song. In Hebrew, if you can repeat with me, okay? Ne sa der ma gal ga dol ve ne tse ha be ma hol kaf nim ha kaf nim ha nisto veva be sim ha. I bet you know the last word. No, simcha? Yeah, you know. It's in Polish. Simcha. Simche. Okay, it's in Polish. So, we will, the song simply says, let's arrange a circle, a big circle, okay? And let's go and dance. Kaf nimcha, we will clap our hands. Kaf nimcha. Nistoveva, we go around, around, besimcha, with great happiness. Let's listen, okay? Oof. I'm sorry, this is not my computer, so I hope everything will work. Okay. Now, this is a field recording. The public are no kindergarten kids. They are older than you are, but most of you are. And they get together every month to sing these songs, to remember the days when they were in kindergarten. So this is a sing-along, and the sing-along is a quintessential aspect of Israeli musical culture. And people like to sing this song. This is why I use the word nostalgia a lot. You want to sing it again? Yes? Okay, okay. Without the tape, now it's more difficult. Okay, okay. I give you the pitch. La Nessa der Magal Gadol Venezia Bemahol. Repeats. Nessa der Magal Nadol Venezia Bemahol. Kaf Nimcha Nisto veva vesimcha. I thought you need to know how it works also from the point of movement. So there is movement, there is choreography, there is clapping, and there is rhythm. But this is quintessential German thinking about music. You have five sounds. La ra 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 la ra ri ra 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 ra. It's very simple. This is why you learn that so fast. Any kid can catch the song immediately. I won't go into musicological terminology, but for the musicians among you, this is a pentatonic scale, and this was always the basis of modern music education. Sometimes it's also taught with movements, like in the Kodály school here, not far away in Hungary, okay? So, la ra 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 la ra ri ra 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 ra, etc., etc., okay? Next. Here you have a song, another song by Sarah Levitanai. It's you can see here the ideology. I will translate that for you. Ichlul yeladim totzeret aretz. Children, consume only the products of the land. So here you have through and through propaganda, okay? this, if it, this sounds like the policy of a modern big country, economical policies, it's not my fault. This was written 70 years ago, okay, before the tariff barriers, okay? So buy only the total product. Samcha chita al yad kineri, okay? The barley has grown on the Sea of Kinneret, on the Sea of Galilee. So here you have the growing of the barley, the topography of the land, that is to say, the geography you are learning, the geography you are learning about agriculture. Avdu anshei deganya bezeat apayim. Now, this is focused on one kibbutz, Kibbutz Deganya, the oldest kibbutz, which is on the Sea of Galilee, okay? So the people of Deganya work bezeat apayim, they work very hard until the zeat apayim is the you're sweating. Sham or shemesh gadol shivatayim. In that kibbutz, the light of the sun is seven times larger. So we have here an entire atmosphere of the land, of the love of the land, of the beauty of the land. The land is productive. The land gives us our bread, and we don't need any external help. My friends, think about this frame of thinking for a little kindergarten kid, a Jew that whose parents, okay, were totally dependent in the diaspora on others, and now the parents are trying to teach them to be independent, starting with your bread. Okay, so this is the underlying explanation of this song, and then the rest of the song says, "Sham oved lo yanum veshomer lo ishan." In that kibbutz, okay, no worker will go to sleep, and no wart, okay, will also go to sleep. Sham yodea lizroa gam yelet katan. In that kibbutz, also a little boy knows how to plant the barley in this case. But if you know the Bible, lo yanum velo ishan shomer Israel. This is an exact quote from one of the Psalms. So you see that... Also bezeat apayim, of course, thank you, yeah, of course. Yeah, the expression bezeat apayim ta'avod et ha'adamah goes from Genesis. So you see the biblical language is taught through the song, but in a truly secular context. Okay, so now the Shomer is not Shomer Israel, the gatekeepers of the city of David, but is the gatekeepers of Kibbutz Deganya at the beginning of the 20th century. Let's listen to the song.
Sham or Shemesh, Gadol Shivatayim. Sham Oved Lo Yanum Veshomer Lo Ishan. Sham Yodea Lizroa Gam Yelet Katan. Yichlu Yeladim Lechem Tutzeret Tzamcha Achita Al Yad HaKineret.
I won't make you sing this song. It will take me too much time to teach it to you. But if you want, I will. I always make all these materials public through the website of the festival. You can download and listen to the songs. It's yours, okay? So, no, it's okay. Now, you may think that I only record people who don't know how to sing well. So, but this is a project that we did with my students many, many years ago. Recording what old people remember about their childhood in terms of songs. And today, these treasures are totally impossible to recover. So we did a very good job in maintaining this. And I will tell you later on who is this man, because this is not just another singer. He's a very important musician who we interview, and he plays the piano well, and he accompanies himself in all the songs. The Conscientious Worker is another important song. I want to tell you just about this song very quickly, because the form it has, okay, the form the poet Israel Dushman created the song, I think is Polish, but I'm not sure. I think many of these people come from Poland, okay? When I know, I will tell you, this one is Polish. This poet is Polish. This composer is Polish. There's a lot of Polish heritage here, but it's a song framed in the form that many Jewish folk songs have. So therefore, it's very pedagogical. It starts with a question. Who knows? Here I translated, who knows how the gardener works? On his knees he bends, a tree on the ground he plants. This is how he works. Who knows? Who knows? Miodea, miodea. Echad miodea, echad miodea. You know this from the Passover Haggadah. How the tailor works, how thread and needle he sticks in, the machine moves, this is how he works, etc., etc., etc. So let's listen now to this song. So here we have a folk Jewish element in the construction of the song.
מי יודע, מי יודע איך היד עובד חוט במחת הוא תוקע המכונה מנענע ככה הוא עובד מי יודע, מי יודע איך סנדלר עובד במרצע הוא רוצע מסמרים של עץ קובע ככה הוא עובד
Now, which is another song that we recorded 30 years ago from Mr. Shimon Feldman. He was a great singer from the Upper Galilee. And here you have a song that, if I wouldn't tell you this is an Israeli song and I give you the translation, you will think that this was written in the Soviet Union in the 1930s, okay? Get up, cute boy, open your eyes. The sun from the east sends its rays, and to the sun's light all the universe rise. Awake, cute boy, awake, enough sleeping. The birds already sing in the gardens, the bees collect juice from the roses, the shepherds call the flock with his flute. Regretfully, this is not my computer, so the PowerPoint presentation, it's a little bit not working. Cut, I'm sorry, I apologize. But you get this hymn. Actually, this is an anthem, okay, to nature, okay, to the sun, and it's very universal. Has nothing to do specifically with the Israeli experience. So many of the songs can be read also as an aspiration of many of these Jews to be part really of a cosmopolitan new humanity. It's not only new Jew, but also new human being. And Mr. Feldman was such a great singer. He sang us all these very old songs. The recording is already 40 years old. And he was 70s, so you can calculate when he was born, okay?
Kuma yeled nechmad Kach et ha'einayim Shemesh memizrach Sholachat kanayim ולאור השמש קם כל היקום קום הילד נחמד די לך לנום הנה הציפורים כבר שרות בגנים כבר עושות הדבורים עשיס מן השושנים כבר אסף הרואה בחלילו הצון קום הילד נחמד די לך לישון
Enough sleeping, young boy. Now, Listen to this. First of all, this is a great folk singer. He worked in agriculture. He works on the fields. He never sang on the stage. He just sang for us. Okay, but what's important here is the tension between the melody and the text. The text is extremely cosmopolitan, extremely non-ideological in terms of Zionism. But the music is taken from an old Yiddish folk song. So the music speaks in one direction, in the direction actually of the memory of the diaspora. And the text looks in the other direction. There is this tension between text and music, which is characteristic of many of these songs. This is why the melody is folk melody. We don't know who wrote this melody. The second issue here is that the pronunciation of the Hebrew is totally Ashkenazi, is totally Eastern European, and not in the modern Hebrew, which I won't say Sephardic because that's not true, but the modern Hebrew type of pronunciation. So the accents of the text are always on the wrong syllable, so to speak, from a modern Israeli sense. Yes?
Do you know the original Yiddish song? Is it the direct translation or is it
on the part? I think this is the way it was designed to be sung. Absolutely. Yeah, the original too. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the question. By the way, you can ask questions at any time, but I want to go fast, okay? So, a little bit about the great composers. We are going now. The issue is the Jewish society before 1948 is called the Yishuv, and the early statehood, the very first years, 20 years of Israeli history. Here you have one of the greatest Israeli composers and one of the greatest composers of song for children, Nahum Nardi. He is from Odessa. He was born in Odessa. Amazing musician. Okay, I can speak about him for an hour. I won't. I just want to tell you that soon after the beginning of the state, we start to have the dissemination of children's songs through mass media. This is a very old record, okay, printed in Tel Aviv, of one of the songs of Nahum Nardi. All these Eastern European composers, and you will also hear more about this from my story of Moshe Vilensky in 2 days, they all were in love with Yemenite Jewish singers. It's a total romance, Eastern European composers, Yemenite Jewish singers. So many of the songs were heard for the first time in the radio as performed by Yemenite Jewish singers. And then we have canonization processes. You have the commodification of children's songs through the media. This is one of the most classic Israeli products ever done on music. It's called Mea Shirim Rishonim, our first 100 songs. 100 songs for children arranged in a modern arrangement. I will play for you a couple of them. And this is a bestseller to this very day. It went through long play, cassettes, CD, and now you can buy it online as files. So, and it never ends. It's top in the charts for children's songs for almost 40 years. Very good business, children's song. So, I will teach you now another song, okay? This is a song by Nahum Nardi, okay? A song by Nahum Nardi, and it's a song for Sukkot, for the festival of the tabernacles, you know, when the Jews, after the New Year, after Yom Kippur, they have this festival where they build these little huts, and they spend there, they eat and sleep for 7 days as memory of the temporary dwelling after the exit from Egypt. It's one of the most beautiful holidays. It's so beautiful that this is the only holiday in the Bible. I always tell all the Jews around the world who go on Yom Kippur to the synagogue to cry and to ask be forgiven for all their sins, and then they don't know what Sukkot is. Sukkot is the only holiday in the Bible that is called Chag. That means holiday, period. It doesn't have any adjective. This is the holiday. So I love this holiday. There are many nice children's songs for this holiday. And here you have Patish Masmernikach Maer, a hammer, a nail, let's take fast, and let's build the hut. Banim Ubanot. boys and girls. So it's very egalitarian from the point of view of gender. So we are okay from that point of view. Krashim, nikach ve'anafim, we should take pieces of wood and also pieces of trees in order to make this hut, to enhance it, lichvod achag, in honor of the holiday, and so on and so forth. Let's listen to it. And this is from the production, okay? If you understand Hebrew, compare the text. Oh my gosh. Okay, you will join me in the la-la-la, okay? Because that's very easy, okay? La-la-la is good. You will figure it out. So in the modern production, commercial production, half of the song is cut. And the other half is changed because the Israeli children of the 1970s and 80s could not understand this Hebrew of the 1930s. They could understand what is pen neacher. Okay, and they changed the words. So the people changed the words. So in a way, there is an author, there is a poet, but the people, that is the children, they and their kindergarten teachers, they change the song. So you see that this is part of a very vibrant culture that keep changing. Now, the style of the song, in a way, sounds a little bit like a world children's song. It doesn't have any specific Jewish or Zionist or Middle Eastern or Oriental, nothing absolutely. If we put different words to this song, but you could have it very clear. And then the song is also accompanied by movements. So when they sing Patish, Masmer, Nikach, Ma'er, Suka, Nivnot, Banim, Ubanot, and so on and so forth. So it has a whole choreography that the kids do while they're doing. I'm sorry, I haven't been in kindergarten for a while, but this is more or less what we have. And you see that Israel memorializes now its greatest composers. This is the house in Tel Aviv where he lived. Another great composer, Daniel Samburski. I'm sorry, I'm going a little bit faster now, but you have here the a very important song about cleaning your hand, okay? I don't have to translate that. Let's listen to it. Oops. Okay.
יש ידי טוב לכולנו, ניקיון אין זהו שמו, הוא תמיד שומר אותנו, אנו אם נשמור אותו, הוא תמיד שומר אותנו, אנו אם נשמור אותו, לא יקרב אליך נגע, עם ידיך נקיות, הלכלוך מקור כל פגע, שורש כל המחלות, הלכלוך מקור כל פגע, שורש כל המחלות.
If you don't clean your hands after you learn this song, you are in trouble. Let me play you just the pop version of it, okay? Okay. Let's go. I know that one will not work because we changed the system. I will jump. Okay. I put Warsaw. He was born in Warsaw. Emanuela Miran, one of the most important composers of also of Israeli folk songs and children's songs. And he was almost like the emperor of Jewish of Israeli music education. For 20 years, he was the chief of music education in the state of Israel from 48 until the 70s, and he was the boss, and he decided which songs will be sung in kindergartens and which not. Very powerful man, and he wrote himself many songs. Here we have a song which is very interesting. It's about Ayoreh. Ayoreh in biblical times is the first rain. And the first rain is a very important rain. If the rain doesn't have come on time in Palestine, the situation is very bad. So we have here, in a way, a song immortalizing this prayer for the first rain. By the way, the previous song, the cleaning song, is very German in its structure. I won't go now into it. It sounds like Bach. Okay.
היורה שמנה, רד מהר הגנה, קום וקפוץ מעל ענן, ותרקוד עמנו כאן. היורה, 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 עץ עם חכפיים, שיח במצלתיים, וכולנו פה נרון, גשם גשם בססון. היורה, היורה, היורה.
So the child talks to the rain like it was a person. Okay, you say, come down, come to us. And the trees, mochek kapaim, you already know that word, okay? Claps the hands. So you have nature also praying for this first rain. It's very important. Only if you live in Israel, you realize how these ancient prayers are now becoming children's songs, but how important they are. Something about the great poets of Israel, they all wrote songs for children. There is not a single major poet in Israel that didn't see as a duty of its creativity to create children's songs. So here, Leah Goldberg, the late great Goldberg, she was German, I apologize, there are many German Jews too, but she was a great poet. And this is now a very modern song. It's a song about the construction of the new harbor in Tel Aviv. Shir HaNamal. Namal means harbor in Hebrew. And you see that now we have, in the previous songs, we only saw the glorification of nature. And now we have the glorification of modernity. Big ships, building a port, cement, okay? Cement is very urban, okay? The cargo ships will arrive and we will build the port, we will build the port. This song was published in the most important publication for children. The most important newspaper of Israel at the time, Davar, was the newspaper of the Workers' Union, when the Workers' Union was the almost the government in Israel. They have this newspaper, and the newspaper every Friday had a children's supplement that all the children of Israel used to read. And the greatest poets published their songs in this supplement. So the newspaper was very important. Now listen to the music, because this is really a Soviet song. It really goes with the cement and with the ports and with the ships, okay?
למרחקים מפליגות הספינות, אלף ידיים פוקות ובונות, אנו כובשים את החוף, את הגל, אנו בונים פה נמל, פה נמל.
If you know how to sing,
אנו כובשים את החוף, את הגל, אנו בונים פה נמל, פה נמל. מוצק הבטון ומורם המנוף, סירות המטען מגיעות אל החוף, תחלת מלמטה ותחלת מעל, ככה נבנה הנמל, הנמל. תחלת מלמטה ותחלת מעל, ככה נבנה הנמל, הנמל.
Levin Kipnis, also one of the greatest poets of Israel, and he wrote scores of songs for children, but sometimes the songs were set up to serious music so that the children will learn with the, through the text serious music. Since you, most of you don't know Hebrew, I won't tell you who the composer is, but let's see.
Ruhot karot oterem hadlu pasku minsho shaked yafe bakerem lavosh nitzot larov vehadbora meofefet Saviv, saviv laetz, vetzuf matok osefet, mikol perach vaetz, lakerem lech gamata, yaldi, yaldi haka, hayom hen lo yadata,
You see, this lady, who again is singing the song from her kindergarten years, she knows that this is music from a serious composer, so she ends that like the aria. This is an aria by Mozart. And many Israeli songs are written to melodies by Mozart, Schubert, etc., so that the kids also learn parts of the classical repertoire already through the songs. This specific song, which is called Ruhot Karot, the cold winds, okay, tells again about a very specific moment in the calendar, in the agricultural, or if you want, in the lunar calendar. It talks about the holiday of the trees, which it was a very minor Jewish holiday that happens around the beginning of February, end of January, beginning of February. And this holiday is called the Holiday of the Trees. Zionism turned into one of its major celebratory holidays. This is a true Israeli holiday. The whole issue of planting the trees, the Keren Kayemet, this was the day of the Keren Kayemet. All the children went out to plant new trees. And therefore, only in the last page, after all the descriptions of what's going on with nature, that is the end of the winter, spring is about to come, okay? The song tells to the kid, don't you notice how the bees are behaving, how the winds are behaving? This is all because Od Me'at, a little, in a few days, is going to be this holiday. So this is a very beautiful combination, of course, of classical music, and again, the teaching of something which was especially valued by the singers. Now, towards the end, let's finish. This song also you will learn. The whole world, the whole issue is here. If I knew how to... Okay. I have to shrink the... Okay, so that you can see the last line. Never mind, I will tell you. So this is not a piece of art. This is just a folk song, okay? Let's listen to it, and then you will sing it, okay?
Ha'oto shelanu gadol ve'yarok Ha'oto shelanu nosea rachok בבוקר נוסע בערב הוא שב מביאו לי תנובה ביצים וחלב בבוקר נוסע בערב הוא שב מביאו לי תנובה ביצים וחלב
Okay, can you go with me? Okay, I'll teach you the first line, then you have the translation here. Tnuva is the dairy company of the Workers' Union of Israel, the largest producer of milk and cheese and all the stuff, that's Nuva. And of course, their trucks were green, okay, and big. So some folk poet composed this song, and this became a children's song, okay? Usually when you go in a trip and you go in the car, people sing this song. So, האוטו שלנו גדול וירוק. Repeat after me. האוטו שלנו גדול וירוק. האוטו שלנו נוסע רחוק. Repeat. האוטו שלנו נוסע רחוק. בבוקר נוסע, בערב ושב. מובילו לתנובה ביצים וחלב. That's a word missing down there. חלב, okay? ביצים וחלב. Now, this is funny because people don't know where this song comes from. This is nothing to do with Israel, but this
was... All right, come on in, folks. It's time for the march. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, this Swedish people, you know, without YouTube today, I could never do this research. I could never find this, but I found it. And this is a Swedish folk song. Nobody knows in Israel who is the Swedish Jew who brought the song and turned that into an Israeli song. But people think this is quintessential Israeli music. Now, we enter now the last minutes of our dissertation. We'll go more into pop music and rock, because there are children's songs also that reflect the new trends. You cannot keep feeding the children songs in the style of 50, 60, 70 years ago. So here you have at the beginning of the 50s a song that in a way is a song for grown-ups, but it's talk by a child. So the child here, I will translate only the refrain, say, Abale, daddy, okay, daddy, take me to the Luna Park. Okay, we will ride there a white horse. Daddy, take me to the Luna Park. Please, be a Hebreman. I cannot translate this word, but be cool, okay? Be cool with me. This is totally new Hebrew, is slang, is the way the children, we have Luna Park, is not Hebrew. This already reflects quite an urban, modern experience of Israelis. This was a very popular song in the early 50s. And I'm bringing this to you from the man that recorded it in the early 1950s, Israel Yitzhaki, who is now 93 years old, and he still keeps appearing in concerts. So you have the original singer, more or less 50 or 55 years after the song was a hit, and please pay attention to the reactions of the public, okay? And the style of the song.
Luna Park, היום לטובה אשתנה, ואחדה להגיד לא רוצה, אבל לכל הלונה פאק, וכבר נסוס על הבן, אבל לכל הלונה פאק, תהיה גם אתה חברמן, אבל לכל הלונה פאק, שם נחמד, עליז ונפלא.
Okay, my friends, he is amazing. He's an amazing artist. His stage presence and the hair looks wonderful at this age. But the public, okay, the public, they are nostalgic for a song that is relatively new in terms of style. And of course, if we play this song in the on the banks of the River Seine in Paris, and we sell that as a French song, nobody will tell anything. And it is interesting that in the 50s, Israel was a Francophile state. The most important ally of Israel in those years was France, not the United States. And most of the Israeli singers and artists and musicians, the place to go to make it big was Paris, never New York. So a lot of the Israeli songs of the 50s are with a very strong French influence style. And then we get into rock, and we get into two of the greatest artists of Israel, Matti Kaspi, singer, composer, a genius of music, Ehud Manor, one of the most important songwriters of Israel. And towards the end, we'll have a couple of songs by them. So this is a great song, and this introduces us also to another venue that I mentioned in my introduction, the Children's Song Festival. So this is the song number one of the Children's Song Festival, 1972. I will play for you two versions of the song. The first version by Yaffa Yarkoni. She was the original singer who sang that. Yaffa Yarkoni is, what I tell you, the Israel's great lady of song. She was around for 50 years on the stage, and she was one of the most renowned chansonniers of Israel. So she sang the song that Matti Kaspi wrote. And then I will play for you the remake of the song by Matti Kaspi himself about 20 years after the original festival version, and you will see. The song says as follows: Achoti Aktana, my little sister, Ikimat Bachana, she's almost 1 year old. Kibalti Ota Mioray Matana, I got her from my parents as a present. Achoti Aktana, Kolayom Yeshana, my little sister, she sleeps all day. Ani Medaberet Veilona, I talk to her and she doesn't answer me, okay? Korim La Libi, her name is Libi. Libi, 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 Veishe Lili. Lily, Lily, Lily. Her name is Libby, Lily, Lily, and she's mine, 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 mine. Okay? So I want to teach you the refrain so you can sing with her, and it's very simple. Korim la Libby, 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 Libby. Veishe Lily, 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 Lily. That's all, okay? Let's hear, and you can join the refrain. After 2-3 times, you will know it. Pay attention to the orchestral setting now. It's a big festival. The songs are for children. Okay?
Achoti haktana, kimat vachana, kibalti ota mehorai matana. Achoti haktana, kol hayom yeshena, ani medaberet veilona. Korim la libi, 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 veishe libi, 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 libi. Korim la libi, 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 veishe libi, 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 libi.
Okay. Now, the new version by Matti Kaspi himself. It starts with a false start. He is a sort of a joker, Matti, so it's a little joke at the beginning.
Hatana, Ikima Pachana, Kibalti Ota, Mehorai Matana, Achoti Hatana, Kolayom Yeshana, Ani Medaber, Aval Hilo Ona, Korim La Libi, 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 Veishe Lili, Libi, Libi, Libi.
So now we have a samba, Brazilian movement. Okay, that's true, okay? Matti Kaspi is one of the greatest Brazilian musicians I know, even though he's from Israel. He spent a lot of time in Brazil. He's a lover of Brazilian music, and he turned his song, his remake, into a Brazilian song. And oh, I have to show you. This is the version of Israel's Children channel. The song always remains, but now it's for the children themselves. Okay.
Achoti Aktana, Ikimat
So you see that, I'm going the wrong direction, that here, again, the arrangement is a little bit more jazzy, okay? It goes more to the jazz. It's not the original song. The original song was very old-fashioned in the way it was. So to adapt it to the children's ears, you renovate that by putting a style that speaks more to the children of today. So this is from the Israel Children channel. And we finish with the greatest kid of Israel, Arik Einstein, the number one rocker who always remained a child. And he recorded children's songs throughout, particularly his adult life. So there is a name you want to remember about Israeli popular music, this is the name. And there is a composer, Dr. Yoni Rechter. I call him Dr. Yoni Rechter because we gave him a doctoral honoris causa from the Hebrew University for his life achievement as a composer. An amazing composer, and one of my most beloved songs is called Adon Shoko, Mr. Shoko. Okay, you know what Shoko is in Polish too. Adon Shoko olech levaker chaver shelo Adon Shoko acher. Mr. Shoko goes to visit another Mr. Shoko. And with success, na'alav, he brushes his shoes. Mesarek se'aro, he combs his hair. Ve'olech im makel u'mikbat. And he goes, Mr. Shoko, with a stick and with a nice hat. Boker ruach kala vehine bait yarok delet aduma gling 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 bapeamom. It's morning, there is a little wind, okay, and all of the sudden a greenhouse, a red door gling 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 bapeamom. Boker tov adon Shoko, good morning Mr. Shoko, good morning Mr. Shoko. Ma nase ulai nelech levaker chaver shelanu adon Shoko acher. What are we going to do today? Let's go and visit another Mr. Shoko, and so on and so on. So it's a lot of the songs by that Arik Einstein sing, and that Yoni Rechter composed, are absurd. So now it's not, you speak to the children in a language of absurd that is just fun for the pure fun of it, okay? So let's listen to a live performance in the Israeli TV of Arik Einstein and Yoni Rechter, Mr. Shoko, okay?
אדון שוקו הולך לבקר חבר שלו, אדון שוקו אחר. הוא מצחצח נעליו, מסרק שערו והולך עם מקל ומגבר. בוקר רוח קלה והנה בית ירוק, דלת אדומה, גלינג 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 בפעמון. בוקר טוב אדון שוקו, בוקר טוב אדון שוקו, מה נעשה? אולי נלך לבקר חבר שלנו אדון שוקו אחר. שוקו, שוקו, שני אדונים שוקולדים ברחובות צועדים הולכים זה עם זה מדברים. בוקר רוח קלה והנה בית צהוב דלת ירוקה, בינג 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 בפעמון.
Regretfully, I don't have all the time, but it's an amazing song because it's so complicated. Musically, if you want to sing this song, you need to have... great. So this is a song for listening, not so much a participatory song. It has some blues in it, and it has very asymmetrical rhythms. Exactly the opposite of the first song I taught you, you know. Mahagal na ta ta ti, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Here, it's much more difficult to grasp this song. So you see now how the language of sophisticated rock, and he sings the song like a rocker, okay, with this harsh voice, not like you sing sweetly to the kids, okay? So you have a total new product, and the very last song, with this we end, a great song by Yoni Rechter, And it's called, it's again one of these songs of absurd, but I love it, I think it's great, and it's called Lady with Baskets. To the bus enters a lady with baskets, and she grabs all the seats, okay? Oh, you have the translation here. One seat, a basket with buns. Another seat, a basket with tomatoes. Another seat, a basket with sunflower seed. Cucumbers, margarine, tchina, all sorts of things. Newspapers, okay? Ridiculous song. But it's a marvelous music by Yoni Rechter. And with this, we will end the presentation of today.
שירנו הבא, גברת עם סלים.
Yes, this is a joke too. Let me move this a little bit.
הצפסל אחד סלים לחמניות, הצפסל אחר סלים עגבניות, הצפסל אחד סלים גרעינים, הצפסל אחר סלים לפפונים.
לאוטובוס נכנסת גברת עם סלים, תראו איך היא תופסת את כל הספסלים.
הצפסל אחד סלים מרגרינה, הצפסל אחר סלים חומוס טרינה, הצפסל אחד סלים כל מיני, הצפסל אחר סלים עיתוני.
לאוטובוס נכנסת גברת עם סלים, תראו איך היא תופסת את כל הספסלים.
ילד, מה פתאום אתה יושב? בבקשה תקום מיד, הלא גם הגברת צריכה ספסל אחד. הצפסל אחד סלים לחמניות, הצפסל אחר סלים עגבניות, הצפסל אחד סלים גרעינים, הצפסל אחר סלים מלפפונים, הצפסל אחד סלים מרגרינה, הצפסל אחר סלים חומוס טרינה, הצפסל אחד סלים כל מיני, הצפסל אחר סלים עיתוני. ילד, מה פתאום אתה יושב? בבקשה תקום מיד, הלא גם הגברת צריכה ספסל אחד.
Okay. I think you understand that. But I would love to, we have 7 minutes for questions. I would love to answer any questions, or if you want to ask me questions by yourself. Tomorrow we are going to talk about a Hebrew song called Atikva. For 1.5 hours, you will say, how much can he say about Atikva in 1.5 hours? I can say a lot. And I can even take 3 and 5 hours about the song. The song that tells it all about the history of Israel. So be prepared, because it's very interesting story, and it's nothing of what you thought about. Something totally different. On Wednesday, we're going to talk about Moshe Vilensky, born and educated in Warsaw, studied at the Warsaw Conservatory, came to Israel in 1932, composed 1,600 songs in Hebrew. Amazing. So, if there is any question, and if you allow me, I will stand up, because I cannot sit anymore. I never teach sitting. Only at the Krakow Festival, they force me to sit. So, yeah.
Excuse me first.
Ah, yes. Yeah, yeah. Microphone.
Would you put Shirei Sofnot?
One second.
Sorry. Would you put Shirei Sofnot with Shirei Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah. Together. More or less the same. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
For those who do not know, Sochnut is the Jewish agency. Now, what is important, I will add something important. Thank you for the question. It's an important question. Jewish agency is the apparatus that the Zionist movement used to mobilize the Jewish people and to organize the immigration. An important part of the work of the Jewish movement, of the Zionist movement, I'm sorry, was youth movements. And youth movements used to sing most of the songs that came from the land of Israel. So there was these songs were not only for Palestine, were also and mostly for export. The Jewish agency also published the songsters with the scores and the words that were not available in Palestine. People knew the songs by memory, but in Berlin you can find and read the scores so that you can learn the song. So your question is very important. And therefore, in Israel, when you say Shirei Sochnut, is derogatory a little bit. It's the songs of the diaspora a little bit. But there is certainly a correspondence, more or less, between Shirei Eretz Yisrael, Shirei Sochnut, and Shirei Tnuot Noar, songs of the youth movements. Thank you for the question. Yes.
Who is creating songs for children today?
Today? Folk songs or children's songs? Children's songs. Well, absolutely, first of all, there is not one children's song festivals, but there are two or three. The children's song festivals are usually on the holiday of Hanukkah. Why? Because the children have 8 days of vacation. The parents hate this holiday. But the musical empresarios are wise. They say, we need spectacles for the children. So the parents take the children to the festival. Some of the I don't know, to tell you the truth, I have to confess, the festival was competitive. That is, people submitted songs, composers, and there was a judging process, okay? It was competitive. Now, I don't think it's competitive. Now, the children market is an important market in Israel. Israel is a young country. Very young. Everybody makes children. Israel is the country, the Western country or the developed country with most children. So there is a market, and therefore there is a market, there is money, not of the children, but of the parents. And therefore there are many composers who still compose songs for children around the festivals, around the holidays. And there are also many remakes of these songs, many remakes of old children's songs with new sound, new arrangements, something that is more appealing to the children today. Yes.
So I think you might have answered this question, but I just want to check. So those early songs, the first songs, and then other songs throughout, are they still being taught in kindergartens and preschools?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes. Not all of them. Some of them are lost. But Sara Levita Nice and Nahum Nardi's songs are part. Every child in Israel know Patish Masmer Nikar. Maer, every child in Israel knows. And the songs, again, are being sometimes remade, so they have new sounds. But others are totally forbidden. They were memorialized by our fieldwork, okay? And they are in the archive. That's it. But there are new songs, too. Yeah.
These field recordings you were showing us at the beginning, are they to found on the website of the National Library?
Yes, all our recordings are in the archive.
And I don't want to start promoting the CDs that I produce, but we many of the examples here are taken from a selection that we did of about 80 songs, and they appear in a CD that regretfully I don't have here, but you can write to me and I will send, I will ask my my people to send you. It's called Yelet Hen, Yaldat Hen, after one of the songs. Songs of the Land of Israel for Children. We published this 5 years ago after many years of preparation. It has all the texts and all the explanations, all what I, a lot of the materials I took from this CD. Double CD. You're welcome to have it. We did it for you. Okay. Thank you very much. We see you tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you. See the tomorrow.
Yes.
We have to adapt the size.
Yes.